Hebrews 11, are you there? We're going to continue with a series we've been on for a while, here a little while, about being faith giants, the Faith Hall of Fame. And it says in Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by the elders obtained a good report. We recognize faith is the foundation that we stand on to receive the supernatural. Grace is the supply package. Faith accesses it. Amen. And faith is being convinced of what we can't see. Right now we don't see our building. As far as for sure, at least our inner one for sure. At least we don't see the deed to it, maybe. But faith believes it's ours. It doesn't move off of that, right? So as Abraham, we were talking about Abraham earlier. Abraham, when he was 100 years old, his body dead, doubted not, but believed God raised the dead. Amen? To bring forth a child out of his and Sarah's bodies when both bodies had shut down. And I'm telling you, God's about to do a resurrection work in this city and through this church that people won't believe. They won't believe it. Amen?
Amen.
And faith is going to what's going to make it happen. Faith accesses a supernatural blessing and power. You've got to believe that. Yes. And so we've been going through these faith heroes. We call Hebrews 11 the Faith Hall of Fame because it lists all these people and what they did by faith. So we started going through this. We talked about that Abel brought forth a better sacrifice by faith. And even though he never reaped a harvest off of what he sowed in the natural, God put him in the Faith Hall of Fame. The first thing in the scriptures to deal with faith in this list, deal with giving. Why? Because if God gets to your funds and your possessions, he gets to your heart. Amen. The second one we looked at was Enoch. He walked with God and God took him, the first man ever raptured. Again, both of these, neither ones were really supernatural in what they did. It was just sowing and fellowshipping. Yet God put them in the Faith Hall of Fame. And the point of this teaching is to let you know you're not a failure in faith. We're growing in faith.
Yeah.
And if you've ever sown a seed, as God instructed, say beyond the tithe, sown a seed, welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Of course, tithing is by faith as well, right? If you spent time pursuing God, fellowshipping with Him, and listening to His voice, welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Listen to what I'm about to say. Scriptures tell us God is not a respecter of persons. There was nothing special about Abel that we can't tap into. You follow me? We can do what Abel did. And it can be our names there if you're a giver. If you have a desire to fellowship with God, it could be you instead of Enoch that was the first person raptured. Amen. God can list your name in the Faith Hall of Fame. The third person it talks about, Noah. What did Noah do? He built a boat. Do you follow me? Have you built anything for God? Have you done anything that took some time to put in place, to manifest? As God instructed, it took Noah 100 years to build that ark. We can say that demonstrates some of diligence. I've been doing this, not for 100 years, but for full time, over 30. I had opportunities to quit, but I'm targeting the Faith Hall of Fame. How about you? You've had opportunities to quit. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. So Noah built a boat. It wasn't supernatural. But it took his faith to do it, believing God was going to make it rain.
Yes.
The Hebrew received reward for 100 years of labor. You got to believe that God's going to bless you for what you're doing. Amen? And that's faith. See, so often we think if you're going to receive a faith reward, you're really a person of faith, you got to raise the dead, you got to open blind eyes, the lame have to walk. And none of that's in this listing that we've read so far. Right? Quit letting the devil get you to doubt your faith. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book, my goodness, over 30 years ago, I believe. 30, 35 years ago. That he got so persecuted by the church for. And it was called Having Faith in Your Faith. Having faith in your faith. Believing your faith will work. And the religious churches just ripped him, having faith in your faith. You have faith in God, not in your faith. You got to have faith that this system works, this kingdom works. These principles do really supply. And faith is one of the main principles. Have faith your faith is working. Have faith our faith is working to bring us a building, a facility. To bring the glory. Really, you know, it's not about a building, it's about the glory. Say it again. It's about the glory. It's about God's manifesting himself to this city, to this region, to the world. And he's going to, he's prophesied it, it's coming.
Yes.
And it's probably going to, I've heard this spoken time and time again, it's going to come upon a bunch of small churches that people think are not producing anything. And God's going to resurrect them, he's going to anoint them to bring in his harvest. I believe that.
Yes.
The mega churches have been around a long time and aren't doing it. You follow me? You can have a big facility. I run into so many people out witnessing, telling people about Jesus. Several this last few days. And I go to this big church over here, this big church over there. I won't even name it. And I'm thinking, what are they doing supernatural?
Amen.
What are they doing in the presence of God and the anointing? They have some programs. But they're content in functioning in human ability and human strength. God's looking for faith people to elevate. Again, we mentioned it a while ago. Well, look what he did with Joseph. From the pit to the palace in a day. And gave him wisdom to be put second in charge over the entire nation, right behind Pharaoh. And in this case, Pharaoh is a type of God. In other cases in the world, he's a type of the devil. But here's a type of God. God intends for his people that are using their faith to step into greatness. Amen? So then we come to the next one. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place he should have to receive an inheritance, he went. Abraham relocated from his family to where God sent him. You know what? There could be a church that your family went to for decades. Denomination your family was in, or a church your family founded. God say, no, I don't want you there. You go over here. Go where the anointing is. Go where I'm moving. Go where the flow is. And God reposition you. Amen. Maybe it's not where, you know, people approve of you going. But it's where God sent you. It's what Abraham did. He went where God sent him. Nothing supernatural about this. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. And then we come to Sarah. Sarah is the first mention of a miracle by faith in the scriptures. Now we always think, outside of this verse, there's nothing in the scripture to lead me to think that Sarah was a faith giant. I mean, when the angel came to Abraham speaking to him, you're going to have a child. She laughed. And then tonight she laughed.
Yeah.
And she got called up. No, you laughed. Don't get around it. Don't lie to the angel. Yet, and we think of Abraham. Abraham, you know, believed all the way through, even though it looked impossible. But here's Sarah. Receive strength to receive conceived seed. And her, by her faith, we see the first miracle recorded in this listing. And so it's interesting to me that that was a woman that saw the first miracle in this list. So ladies, welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Now, you may not have had a supernatural childbirth, but you believe for dead situations to be elevated or resurrected.
Yes.
I mean, I've had, I don't know how many dead, I mean, I've had to raise the dead as well, but how many dead situations I've been presented, we've been presented, that we believe, we sowed for, and God came through time and time again. Amen.
Yes.
Welcome to the Sarah level of the Faith Hall of Fame. Then it goes back to talking about Abraham. He sojourned in the land. He stayed where God put him and refused to be driven out by, you know, the mockers, the naysayers. I thought your church was going to save the city. Look at you now. You're in a borrowed place. But you refused to move. Why? You're not living by what you see, but what God's put in your heart and what He's spoken to you. What you're perceiving is truth. You're grabbing hold of it. That's what Abraham did. He didn't leave despite the pressure. You follow me? It's just, had they thought about it, they could have left and went back to their homeland, but he didn't. He stayed focused on what God had promised. I've given you this land. And guess what? Abraham never possessed it. He never possessed it. But he didn't leave it. And his offspring possessed it. And today they still possess much of it. You follow me? How's that for a promise 3,000 years old? Really more than that. Over 3,000 years old of promise. That, my goodness, how long is that? 4,000 years, I guess. Promise God gave Abraham is still in manifestation today. By faith. So we taught all the way through Abraham. I want to go over though. Oh, then we talked about, look at this verse. Verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now we covered this a few weeks back. Actually, it's probably been about 6 weeks ago. We covered this. But if we read the prophecies that Isaac spoke over Jacob and over Esau, they weren't that impressive. They weren't that detailed. You follow me? God's giving you the land. Nations will bow down to you, basically, but nothing specific. He told Esau, you'll serve your brother, but nations will also bow down before you, to paraphrase. In fact, let me read it. I got it written here. To Isaac, he said, therefore, God, give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine, that people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everyone that blesses thee. That's quite generic. Now it's good. Do you follow me? God give you the dew of heaven. Those who bless you be blessed, those who curse you be cursed. That's great. But that didn't take a lot of faith. But Isaac believed what he was speaking. Isaac had a revelation of the power of his spoken words. Do you believe there's power in what you speak?
Yes.
Did you know most Christians don't believe that? Most Christians still abide by sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a lie. Words will kill you. Isaac had that revelation. In fact, when Jacob came in and stole the blessing, I'm getting ahead of myself, wrong ones. Jacob came and stole the blessing. And when Esau come in, he says, oh, give me the blessing. He's not already giving it to your brother. I can't take it back. We tend to be people, oh, I said that. I take it back. Take backs. But in some cases, it may not be take backable. Look that one up in your Scrabble dictionary. And he gave Esau a different blessing. You follow me? The power of what we speak controls the operations of our faith. And right now, please hear what I'm about to say. We're faith giants. Because most people don't believe, most Christians don't believe in the power of your words. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame, believing the word that you speak. But God can't fully anoint our words yet because we might be blessing people one day, curse them the next. Cursing stuff in our house, cursing our cars, whatever, appliances, this blasted, you know, TV set. bless. And so we need to learn to control what we say. Make it a practice. The more we can apply this, the more God can anoint us with power. I sound just crazy. I know it does. But it's according to the Word. And I've come to believe this Word is more, how can I say, full of wisdom than I am. Than anybody in the natural. The power of what we say. We've discovered, quantum science has discovered, that matter itself reacts to our interaction. Much more our words do. So here we see Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph. And Joseph, when he died, he prophesied that Israel would leave Egypt and take his bones with him. Again, I'm not reading over this in detail because we're trying to get one more. But these last three, I'll put them in the Faith Hall of Fame. For prophesying, blessing, and decreeing. You follow me? All based on the power of our spoken words. And they really believed that God would anoint. He would guard over and anoint and fulfill the words they spoke. Think about it. Think about God blessing Jacob and Esau. And God says, God give you the dew of heaven. You're going to be blessed. Nations will come before thee. And Abraham really believed because he spoke that it would happen. Do you follow me? I'm sorry, Isaac, if he spoke it, it would happen. They believed in the power of this blessing. We got to believe if we lay hands on people and pray, it'll happen. Do you follow me? We've got to believe in the prayer of our households or our families, it'll happen. Again, when I had that heart scan done, and I myself was shocked to see the results. I scored a 0 out of 1,000. And when I saw the result, God said it couldn't be any other way. That's all you've spoken for 30 years. And it was true. And not just a few times, consistently for over 30 years. The exact same confession. My heart is strong, my veins and arteries are clear. Blood courses in my veins and arteries. Believe if you speak it. You don't reverse what you spoke by cursing it the next day. Well, I guess it didn't work. God anoint those words. Amen. But I want to go to verse 23 to start tonight. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, here's a declaration of faith where God's honoring somebody for their faith. And it mentions Moses, but it's not Moses' faith being talked about. Moses was a baby. He wasn't doing anything about faith yet. It was his parents had faith to hide him. Eventually, to make the little boat, they trusted God's hand to guide that boat. Yeah. Now watch the sail straight to Pharaoh's daughter. They had faith to entrust their children to God. Now follow me on this. See if this applies to you. Moses' parents refused to allow him to be inoculated with the government-required vaccines. And they rejected the public education system. But listen, you're not being told your baby's going to be killed. They have plans to kill your babies. At least, if not physically, mentally and spiritually. Look at the public education system. It's designed. It's infiltrated by the demonic. It's designed to make your kids unbelievers.
Yes.
Evolution is evolution that. No God here, no God there. You follow me? Try to find the public school talking about creationism. I volunteered to go in our school one time and teach creationism. Never heard back. That's why we're seeing the NEA potentially totally dissolved. And more power being given to the parents to determine what their kids are going to be taught. What I'm saying is, Moses' parents said, we're not going to turn them over to the government system. Now, I know people believe both ways. I really believe we're inoculating our kids with too many vaccines. Because you can absolutely trace the number of children with autism to the rise in vaccinations.
Yes.
Well, the vaccines have mercury in them. I'm not trying to make a political statement. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're stepping in and saying, I will not turn my kids over to government-sponsored programs, or grandkids, or even in the past, you influenced your children in a spiritual fashion. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Because most parents just send their kids to school and don't care what they're taught. Don't care their surroundings. Never look at their science books to see what's in it. You just receive it. Well, that's a school. One of the most challenging things for a child growing up is to get through school and even college and still have their faith intact. The colleges are designed to teach unbelief. They've been infiltrated. Amen. So guess what? You've been homeschooling or teaching your children otherwise. Welcome to the Faith Hall. Amen. Or refusing the jab or whatever. Now, if you've got your kids, grandkids, and you know, vaccinated, pray over them. Pray that they have no impact. But the reports are, since the COVID vaccinations on young people, their heart problems have risen. They've never been a problem before. They're taking out young people left and right. God's looking for people. We'll trust in His kingdom. Stand on His teachings. Back over there. Verse 24. In other words, verse 23 says, they're not afraid of the king's commandment. Don't worry about what the government says. Here's one, just kind of along those lines, but different. I consider you guys, not my children, part of the flock, right? And how many years... Let me ask you, over all the years you've been with me, how often have I veered away from speaking anything controversial or political because it might offend somebody? No, I'm going to tell you, but I believe the scripture says about morality, political leanings, everything else. I don't believe that ought to be in church. Apparently, it's everywhere else. It should be in church at least to offset what the world's doing. I know it's not always a popular opinion. And of course, the government's trying to control the church by saying those things through threats of tax, penalties. By faith, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was called or come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Moses had a chance to live in the palace for life. He's raised in the palace. He knows all the protocols. He knows all the important people. There's a chance Moses could have come to the throne himself if he had stayed in Egypt, stayed connected to the people that raised him. But instead, he knew, he had found out he was a Jew and chose instead to reject Egypt and live among his own people. Learn their ways. Follow their God. Amen.
Amen.
He refused to be called an Egyptian, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Not just an Egyptian, but the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What a phenomenal title to have applied to you in the natural. And something in Moses said, no. That's not who I am. God was speaking within him to reject that system. And so, Moses rejected Egyptian opportunity. He rejected this. I'm going to apply this to us now. He rejected the buyouts offered by the world and instead remained connected to his church body. That's how it applies to us. Whether you know it or not, the enemy is always trying to buy you out. You've heard it said, you know, how much money will you, I should say, how much money would it take for you to lie, to steal something? You follow me? What's big enough that you would steal it? Hopefully nothing. I have a saying I use all the time, my integrity is worth more than that. My integrity is not for sale. Do you follow me? You know, what's a lot of people it is. There was an example I heard years ago. But there was this beautiful woman. I think I've shared it in here before. There was this very beautiful woman, knocked down and gorgeous, like my wife. And she was a single girl, and she was at this party. And this older man comes up. He was very, very wealthy. And everybody knew it. He's talking to her alone, and he says, would you spend the night with me for $1 million? Have you heard this before?
It's a movie.
It's a movie?
It's a movie.
Not what I'm about to say. Would you spend the night for me with $1 million? She starts thinking, now, I could get a better house, a better car, I'd set up. One night, she says, yeah, I guess I would. He said, well, would you spend the night with me for $50? He said, what kind of woman do you think I am? He said, we've already determined that, now we're negotiating price. That's how the movie went, I don't think.
No.
I didn't see it, but I don't think it's how it went. See, if you're for sale $1 million, that means you're for sale. And a lot of Christians are for sale spiritually. I don't know how many people I've had in the church. I mean, some of them tight with, close to. And they've either gone through a divorce or they're single or whatever. And, oh, this is my church. I'm me and you. And then somebody comes in that sounds up just right. They get Twitter painted. If you remember seeing Bambi, they get Twitter painted. I have seen it many times. Call me flower if you want to. And they get married or get pulled out, or they're sleeping together. And never intended that, but there was a price. Christ was somebody looking at them just right. You follow me? This perfect person they wanted to marry. And I don't know if I've ever had one work out right. Where somebody came in and did that. It was a buyout. The enemy knows what price you'll sell out for.
Yeah.
I've had people in the church coming on. I'm in on fire. This is my church. I love Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. And their company, little company, the little store, says, oh, we need to transfer you across the state. You get a 20% raise. Never mind that there's no church there across the state. You follow me? But money. Money and this opportunity, promotional opportunity. I can find a church anywhere. No, you better hear God on that. It doesn't always work like that. I'm going to ask you a question. It's along these same lines. How many believe I can go start a church anywhere? Shut this and down and go somewhere else?
Yeah.
No.
Good.
How many believe it would be okay with God and the flow of God from my life if I went and started a church somewhere else instead of this one? No, I have a water tower picture in my house hanging up. That's the vision God's given me over and over again. That's where I've been prophesied to be here. God's spoken to me about Georgetown. You follow me? Listen, I've got invitations to preach at many different places and states. I got some people saying, why don't you come here and start a church? I can't. We'll give you a building. I've been offered buildings in the past. Can't. It's not the assignment, and I'm not for sale. You follow? And nobody's offered me a whole lot of money yet. It wouldn't matter. I'd rather be in the plan of God with nothing.
Amen.
Than the world in your hands and you're outside the plan of God.
Yes.
And I believe He sent me here. I believe He sent you here.
Yeah.
We can't be for sale. Here's one. Here's one. I've had this happen many times. You know, you don't have much of a worship team. Right now we don't have any. At this church, they'll let me play guitar. Or they'll let me sing. They'll let me on the worship team. You know, at this church, I get to be an assistant pastor or in charge of this area. So in other words, you've got a resume out. Whoever will give you the most recognition or opportunity, that's where you go. It's not based on what God says. It's where you think there's opportunity. That's a buyout. And I've had people in my church leave because this is a true story. Somebody the wrong gender came in. They got to go somewhere and leave. And better job opportunity. All three. Guess what? Any one would have taken them out. So they left. And Moses refused to sell out to the opportunities Egypt presented. Instead to suffer affliction, pressures, challenges with the people of God. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
He remained connected to his church body. He refused to buy us. Now, I was thinking of a couple of real life people. Do you remember the show Sanford and Son?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
You remember Lamont?
Yes.
Lamont, during the show, got radically saved or moved on by God. And God said, I want you to quit this job and go into ministry. He said, God, give me 10 years in this and I'll do it. He worked in Hollywood for 10 years, quit. Now he's a preacher.
Yes.
God gave him the tenants, what he wanted.
Where?
Neil Donahoe. I'm not how you pronounce it. Hollywood actor now. Refuses to kiss another woman in any movies.
Yeah.
He won't leave. He says, my lips are for my wife only. And he's on blacklisted by Hollywood now, but he won't move off of it. Way to go, Neil. You know, if Hollywood calls me, I'm not kissing another inner woman. No matter how much those young star was begging, I'm not doing it. Praise God. But here's one. How many have heard of Clark Gable? Patty loves Clark Gable. Loves his movies.
Yes.
At the end of Clark Gable's very end of his life, he was being interviewed. They said, do you have any regrets of life? Yes. I was called to be a preacher when I was young. And I was offered the fame instead, and I took it. I wish I hadn't.
Wow.
I wish I'd have followed God. Famous, so some kind of the greatest actor in the history of Hollywood. Regretted it, recognized it was a buyout till the end of his life. You can't afford it. Moses refused. Look at this again. Verse 21, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches Now, did Moses know Christ? No. But here, the writer of Hebrews is making a parallel. That what Moses went through is parallel to what we are going through, you know, suffering reproaches of being a Christian, of being a faith person, a name it and claim it. Greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For we had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He believed God was a rewarder of God. God would bless him for his faith.
Yes.
And he did. Look at verse 27. By faith. Where we see the phrase by faith, it's talking about something else God's commending them for. Now, it's interesting. In this chapter, Abraham was commended three times for his faith. Once for leaving his country. Once for staying where God sent him. And once for being willing to sacrifice Isaac. We talked about that last week. Moses is mentioned four times for his faith. Here's the second one. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for you endure to see him who is invisible. Now this is a verse greatly discussed by theologians all through Bible history. What's it talking about? By faith he forsook Egypt. Well, a common belief is when he murdered the Egyptian, he fled Egypt. He forsook Egypt. But here it says, not fearing the wrath of the king. He was fearing the wrath of the king then. When he left Egypt, he was fearing the wrath of the king. But what most believe is when he forsook Egypt is when he rejected to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and instead said, I'm leaving that system behind. I'm going to choose to live with the Israelites. Follow me. He left one system and chose God's system. He left one kingdom, the kingdom of Egypt, and chose the kingdom of heaven. Have you done that? Have you made a decision? I'm going to trust in God's kingdom, God's system. His, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to sow seed, I'm going to speak the word. Guess what? Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Follow me on this. Each one of these people, for the most part, other than Abraham and Moses, are recognized one time for their faith. Follow me. Abel sowed a seed. A great seed, he followed. Sowed of his best. Have you done that? You don't raise your hand, but just think about it. Enoch, fellowship with God. Recognize your faith. Have you done that? Remember, these only are recognized for one thing. You may have done both of those. Noah obeyed God over time, was diligent not to give up and quit in what God told him to do. Have you done that? Did you know one form of that would be staying in your marriage? When the devil's trying to break it apart. You fish with the enemy, you have your covenants. Even when it looks like maybe you're not even getting the best out of it. And we know Patty is, but I kill bugs. Trump's over there. Is Noah built the boat over time? Have you been obedient to do what God told you to do? Let me give you an example. Karen is absolutely brilliant. Apparently, with everything other than multiplying numbers times nine, she's got 400. She's traveled all around the world as a consultant, pulling in very good money. She left Dover all to work for us for next to nothing. Following, I don't give her a good tip. But that's what she says she wants. You follow me? She tells me how much to pay. Left that system of the past and chose, I'm going to serve the kingdom of heaven. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. You may be doing all of these. Abraham left his home church, what God told him, Have you done that? If you're here, you have.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? He stayed where God put him.
Yeah.
Sarah, I believe for a dead situation to be resurrected. Have you done that? I believe if I went around, most of you could tell me a miracle God's done in your life that looked dead and now it's alive. Whether it's a salvation, whether it's a healing, whether it's a financial blessing, there's something that looked dead. I mean, our daughter being kicked out of school, miracle. Not to mention the miracle healings we've seen. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. You may have done every single one of these. And then Moses said, I'm going to live in a different system. Here's a biggie. I'm going to trust in a different system than the one I was raised in. The one that looked like it was a source of blessing for me. I'm going to choose a kingdom that looks like it may not produce anything. It looks like it's dead, it's broke, it's under bondage. But I'm going there because I believe that's the place God's reward is going to manifest for my life. Not just now, but eternally. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Hope you're getting something out of this.
Yes.
He rejected living out of the world system, but instead chose to trust God and His kingdom for His supply. He was going to need that faith going through the wilderness, where there's no food, there's no water. You follow me? No shade. Verse 28. Through faith, there's using his faith against something else Moses credited for using his faith for. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood. Now, what's it represent for us? What's the Passover represent for us? This should be an easy question. It's the cross. The Passover, they took the blood of the lamb, the spotless lamb, painted it on the doorposts of the house and on the side lintels. And if they stayed inside that blood barrier, the death angel passed over them. It's the type of the cross. You follow me? Have you used your faith to believe in salvation through Jesus? Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. So Moses was instructing the people of Israel. Keep the Passover. I need to speed this up. Let's go a little further. Look at this. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. And here's the whole people of Israel by faith passed over. Which Egyptians are saying to do, we're drowned. Now look at verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. Now with that in mind, did I not write this down? Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go there. Is this teaching helping you at all?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 10, and let's go to verse number 1. Oh, I got all this written down here, don't I? I got Romans. Not too far. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The Red Sea that they crossed over where the water split were a type of baptism. It says it right here. They were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. Do you remember the cloud? Understand, they're in the wilderness. They're in the desert. There's no shade. So God, for 40 years, brought a cloud over their encampment to shade them from the penetrating rays of the sun under that cloud. It's a representation of the coming. Of course, there's a pillar of fire by night, right? That cloud is a representation of God's covering system for us. That is a covenant people. God's got us under covering. Again, we're not teaching on coverings tonight, but know that there's a prayer canopy over us.
Yes.
That the Spirit of God will initiate prayer through is to pray for one another.
Yes.
If you don't know what to pray, you'll have to be praying in the Spirit. I mentioned to China. Day before yesterday, I was in prayer for her. Wrapping her just prayer for China. You know, exhorting her, speaking over her. What? Something was going on. God had me praying for her. That's our covering. And it says they were baptized into a covering and in the Red Sea.
Yes.
Now that represents to me two baptisms. There's a water baptism, right? And there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to try to say one or the other is this, but we know when you're saved, you come into covenant with the church, you come into that church covering, you're baptized into the body of Christ and under the covering. In the Red Sea, they went over as one. And the waters could represent the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You follow me? You're flowing with it. You're flooded with it. And of course, the same baptism we're filled with destroyed the enemies of God. And so, if you use your faith to get saved, pat yourself on the back. Welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. If you took from there and you pursued, you get filled with the Spirit, which is very easy. If you've not been seen, we'll get you filled tonight. If you use your faith for that, welcome to the Faith Hall of Fame. Because God mentions it in Hebrews chapter 11. God in these end times is raising up a bride full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Both. And you can't let what you're looking at make you feel like you failed. Don't even look at yourself and feel like you failed. What does God say about you? He said you're the head and not the tail. Above only and never belief. Beneath. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed the fruit of your pasture, the increase of your kind. Your storehouse and your basket will overflow. We are a blessed people of God.
Yes.
Not to mention, God says we're his favorites. Refuse to get down on yourself. Look at this list. Write these names down, what they did. And for a while, just read it and think, this is what they did by faith. I've done all that. I've done a bunch of it. That could be my name written in the Scriptures right now. Because it could be. What you've done is what they did. Welcome to God's Faith Hall of Fame. He's looking for faith people. I believe we get to heaven, you talk about big crowds for faith. You'd be amazed how proud God is of people that are using their faith. In fact, it says you can't please him unless you do. Not everything you do by faith has to be supernatural. It just has to be based on trust in the kingdom, trust in God. We're about to see glorious times. Have you got anything out of this? We'll pick it up next time with Jericho. Oh, praise God. Spiritual warfare by faith. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Let us apply this, not be hearers, but doers also, that we apply this word to our own lives. And we have faith in our faith. We press into the kingdom. We refuse to pull back. We refuse to play games. Anoint us for greatness. Open doors of opportunity. We'll step through them. By faith, we'll step through them. Give us people to pray for them. We'll do it. I declare in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none oppressed, none in lack, none in strife. We win in every situation. I thank you in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.